काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. We are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 13, Verse 14. Kindly repeat after me. Kanchit kalam atavatsit. Kanchit kalam atavatsit. Sat krito devavat sukham. Sat krito devavat sukham. Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas skrit. Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas skrit. Sarvesham sukham avahan. Sarvesham sukham avahan. Kanchit kalam atavatsid. Sat krito devavat sukham. Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas krit. Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas krit. Sarvesham sukham avahan. Kanchit kalam atavatsit. Sat krito devavat sukham. Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas krit. Sarvesham sukham avahan. Somebody wants to repeat.
Kanchit kalam athavatsit.
Kanchit kalam athavatsit.
Satkrito devavat sukham.
Satkrito devavat sukham.
Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas krit.
Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas krit.
Sarvesham sukham avahan.
Sarvesham sukham avahan. Kanchit kalam atavatsit. Sat krito devavat sukham. Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas krit. Sarvesham sukham avahan. Sanchit kalam atavatsit. Satkrito devavatsukam. Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas krit. Sarvesham sukham avahan. Kanchit kalam atavatsit. Satkrito devavatsukam. Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas krit. Sarvesham sukham avahan. Ladies.
Kanchit kalam athavatsit.
Kanchit kalam athavatsit.
Satkrito
devavat sukham. Bhratur jeshtasya shreyas krit. Sarvesham sukham avahan. Kanchit. For a few days. Kalam. Time. Atha. Thus. Avasit. Resided. Satkritaha. Being well treated. Devavat. Just like a godly personality. Sukham. Amenities. Pratuhu. Of the brother. Jeshtasya. Of the elder. Shreyakrit. For doing good to him. Sarvesham. All others. Sukham. Happiness. Avahan. Made it possible. Translation, please repeat after me. Thus Mahatma Vidura, being treated just like a godly person by his kinsmen, remained there for a certain period, just to rectify the mentality of his eldest brother, and in this way bring happiness to all others. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Saintly persons like Vidura must be treated as well as a denizen from heaven. In those days, the denizens of heavenly planets used to visit homes like that of Maharaja Yudhishthira, and sometimes persons like Arjuna and others used to visit higher planets. Narada is a spaceman who can travel unrestrictedly not only within the material universes, but also in the spiritual universes. Even Narada used to visit the palace of Maharaj Yudhishthira, and what to speak of other celestial demigods. It is only the spiritual culture of the people concerned that makes the interplanetary travel possible, even in the present body. Maharaj Yudhishthira therefore received Vidura in the manner of reception offered to the demigods. Mahatma Vidur had already adopted the renounced order of life, and therefore he did not return to his paternal palace to enjoy some material comforts. He accepted out of his own mercy what was offered to him by Maharaj Yudhishthira, but the purpose of living in that palace was to deliver his elder brother Dhritarashtra, who was too much materially attached. Dhritarashtra lost all his state and descendants in the fight with Maharaj Yudhishthira, and still, due to his sense of helplessness, he did not feel ashamed to accept the charity and hospitality of Maharaj Yudhishthira. On the part of Maharaj Yudhishthira, it was quite in order to maintain his uncle in a befitting manner. But acceptance of such magnanimous hospitality by Dhritarashtra was not at all desirable. He accepted it because he thought there was no alternative. Vidura particularly came to enlighten Dhritarashtra and to give him a lift to a higher status of spiritual cognition. It is the duty of the enlightened souls to deliver the fallen ones, and Vidura came for that reason. But the talks of spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing that while instructing Dhritarashtra, Vidura attracted the attention of all the members of the family, and all of them took pleasure in hearing him patiently. This is the way of spiritual realization. The message should be heard attentively, and if spoken by a realized soul, it will act on the dormant heart of the conditioned soul. And by continuously hearing, one can attain the perfect stage of self-realization. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yutapada Kamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam, Tvam Sajivam, sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sagana lalita shri vishakhanvitamscha he krishna karuna sindho dinabandho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu sute devi pranamami hari priye vancha kalpa taru bhayascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shrivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 ramo hare ramo rama ramo hare hare With your permission, I'll recite a few more verses glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam and then we'll start. Sarva Shastra Abdipiyusha Sarva Vedaika Satphala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya Sarva Lokaika Drikprada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dvandotaya Aditya Shri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pathaya Prema Varshaksharayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume Madeka Bando Matsangin Manguro Manmahadana Manishtaraka Madbhagya Madananda Namostute Asadhu sadhuta dain atinicho chataraka hanamum chakadachinmam premna hrit kanthayospura matsamo nasti papatma naparadhi chakaschana parihare pilajjame kimbhruve purushottama Bhumauskalitapadanam Bhumirevavalambanam Tvai jata paratanam Tvameva sharanam prabho Yuvatinam chayata yuni Yunaucha yuvato yata Tadmano bhiramate tadvan Mano me ramatam tvai Hare Krishna So, the scene is set here. The battle of Kurukshetra is won. Maharaj Yudhishthira is the emperor of the world. And Lord Krishna, he was there staying with Maharaj Yudhishthira for some more days. Bhishma Dev had passed away and then Maharaj Yudhishthira begged Krishna to stay there for some more days in Hastinapur. And Lord Krishna agreed to stay for some more days. After that, Lord Krishna goes back to Dwarka. And Vidura makes his royal entrance into Hastinapur. Now, Vidura was not involved in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was insulted by Duryodhan and he left. And he was not at all participating. He came back after Maharaj Yudhishthira won the kingdom. And because Vidura was a well-wisher of Pandavas, Maharaj Yudhishthira and everybody treated him as if their own life had come back when Vidura walked back into Hastinapur. In the meanwhile, Vidura was traveling to different places of pilgrimage and he had discussions with Maitreya and he was a very... He was actually a realized soul. He's Yamraj himself, who's been cursed by Manduka Muni to be born as a son of Shudra for 100 years. And he came here as Vidura. So Bhagavatam says it's a little bit of vacation for him also, because being Yamraj is no fun thing. constantly you have to deal with you know, sinners and complaints and always, and given the age that it was Kali Yuga that was progressed, his workload had drastically increased. Because at least in the previous ages there were pious souls and his work was like, you know, nominal, minimal. But with Kali Yuga, onslaught of Kali Yuga, his work has increased a tremendous amount. So in any case, when Vidura was there as Yamraj, Ariyama, one of the forefathers, was monitoring the post. He was the temporary CEO of Yamloka and he was administering his duties. And Vidura, that's the beauty of the curse. Even for a saintly person, even if he is cursed, it becomes a benefit in one way or other. Because now Vidura was able to fully absorb, forgetting all his duties, he was fully absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna and actually performing a role in Krishna's pastimes in this material world. The reason is self-explanatory that why Vidura came. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport is that he was a sannyasi, he was detached from the household affairs. The reason he came back to Maharaj Yudhishthir was because he felt tremendous amount of compassion for his elder brother. Now, Vidura is a saintly person, and one of the qualities of the saintly person is the utter tolerance. And Vidura exhibited it to an extreme degree. Because when Vidura was minister of Dhritarashtra and when Dhritarashtra was in power, he was constantly sidelined and or insulted by his sons. And he tolerated them in a very, very exemplary manner. Because he was always taking the sides of Pandavas, and Dhritarashtra and his sons, they didn't like this. And they somehow or other tried to put him down. And to the point that it is mentioned that Vidura was helping Pandavas, for example, that there was a plan hatched to kill all the Pandavas, to send them to Varanavat, and then a beautiful house was built, and it was completely made of shellac, or a very flammable substance. And the beauty of that house was there was no doors or windows. There was only one entrance and one exit to that particular house. So the idea was that once the Pandavas were inside, on a particular day, they would burn that house and they would block all the entrances so that the Pandavas would be trapped inside. And Vidura, here is the catch. He was acting as a minister of Dhritarashtra, but his whole heart was with Pandavas, and he could not kind of simply say, you know, I hear, you know, this is happening to you, you're going to get killed, so better watch out. He couldn't say that. In a very diplomatic way, he told Yudhishthir, he was just chatting up, okay, come on, niece, let's, nephew, come on, let's chat up. And then in the course of time, you know, he was saying, you know, soul, it's talking about all philosophy, like, you know, soul and how the soul is not destructed, soul is not burned by fire. And he was giving so many hints. Queen Kunti was there and Yudhishthir was there when they were talking to Vidura. But Queen Kunti couldn't understand what he was talking. He was talking in a very philosophical manner. But Yudhishthir, he's being very intelligent. He understood that he was trying to warn us. And then later, Vidura sends an expert person who is capable of digging holes or tunnels, and using that tunnel, the Pandavas escape. So this is one of many instances where Vidura was always siding with the Pandavas, because he was a devotee of the absolute supreme personality of Godhead. He had a similar kinship based on the devotional nature of Pandavas. It is to be understood that he was not having a bodily attachment. Because the saints of Vidura's caliber, they are not attached on a bodily platform. One can misconstrue that, you know, he was just siding because, you know, he had some sort of affection. No, he was detached from Pandavas and Kauravas. But because the Pandavas were devotees of the absolute truth, he had that natural inclination to protect Pandavas. So the Pandavas, in their own capacity, when Vidura came, they were so overjoyed because he was their well-wisher and he had protected them from death many a times. And he was given comfortable seating, he was given comfortable place to stay and all the nice reception. Because it is to be understood that Vidura didn't come back because now it's a payback time. Now, you know, Dhritarashtra, you were like, you know, now you see what is your position. Now I come back, my side, the side I sided with during the battlefield, now is victorious. That was not Vidura's mentality here. Because Vidura didn't come here to enjoy sense gratification. As it is later said that, you know, he leaves the palace also. He was not attached to Pandavas. So, what else can we learn from here? The other aspect is that going on with the compassion is that there was a tolerance and also there was extreme compassion. It was like he didn't come here to actually insult Dhritarashtra. He didn't come here to kind of make fun at him or see his miserable condition. Ha ha ha, you see now, you know, you're like living like a useless fool. You are the king of it. Really. Because to imagine Dhritarashtra's situation. Here he was the emperor of the whole world. He had armies at his disposal. He had 100 sons who were capable of taking care of him. And right now, in 18 days of Kurukshetra war, nothing was left. He was living as a blind, invalid, handicapped person in the house of Dhritarashtra, in the house of Yudhishthir. Now fortune has changed. But Vidura was seeing the extreme compassion that, Are you are... such a reversal of fortune has happened, you are still stuck here at the house of Yudhishthir with no purpose in life. You are just waiting your death with no meaning, with no positive credit to your life. That was the heart of Vidura. It was burning with such compassion. And to deliver his own brother, sometimes Sadhu uses soft language with praises, sometimes Sadhu uses harsh words. Whatever it takes to get the results. That was the goal. Because you should realize that Dhritarashtra was not having too much time. He was old. He was invalid. He's later said in the Bhagavatam that basically he was coughing up mucus. His teeth were falling out. So old age is something which is going to come on everybody. Because Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was advanced when he started the movement, and then his disciples were all like teens or 20s. And then they were like, you know, maybe, I don't know what happened. So they were caring for Prabhupada. Maybe Prabhupada found in him that there was a smirk or a slight sense of complacency. Oh, we are young and you are old. Prabhupada said, don't worry, it will all come up on you. Everybody has to face this. Maybe he saw that and took. He's the Jagat Guru. He wanted to correct. It's a fact. I see the statements that there was like old politicians and there is these young models or young film stars who make the statements saying that, you know, I'm so young and that fellow is so old, and they make some statements in the press. I realize, who is old? Who is young? That person who is old is going to get a young body pretty soon, much sooner than what you get.
Actually, the politician at an old age has more power than the actress will have when she gets old.
Right, there you go. But that besides the point, though. I mean, like, the body is just going to be destroyed. I mean, like, that's the nature of this material world. And really, what is the positive thing we get? That is Krishna consciousness. Our effort, our devotion is the treasure, is the 401k savings, or is the whatever things we have, that is a real 401k savings. Actually, it's 1008k savings. Because nothing, this other aspect, security. There is no real security in this world. We can try our best. We can try to make, you know, have this insurance. We can have, like, you know, make our bank balance ready, and we keep our health running, fitness. Everything is body healthy, finance healthy, family healthy. Everything is healthy. But there is no question of real security in this world, because the time is such that anything can be taken away at any point of time. Dhritarashtra, he was king all through his life. Pandu died at a very, very early age. And over his lifespan, he enjoyed the kingdom. And within 18 days, he was just living as a beggar in the house of Yudhishthir. Where is the security? He had 100 sons. If you see from the snapshot of the time when he was young, he was set for life. You have 100 sons to take care. You have a huge kingdom. But that's the nature of this world. So that doesn't really mean that you abandon everything. That's the other point. Job, forget it, Krishna will take care. Family, who cares? You know, who wants a college fund for them? Why save them for college? Krishna will take care. That is just dereliction of duty. That's also not advised. But the thing is that your heart should be in Krishna. And your duties are duties. They have to be done. But my heart is always with Krishna. My security, my sense of worth, my sense of guarantee, the whole thing comes from Krishna. Now nowhere else. I have to do other things. Yes, I'll take care. I have a body and I need to take care of the body. I have family, I need to take care. I'll do all that. But I am not expecting any, even the slightest guarantee from that things, because they are not. That is the nature. Because once we awaken to that nature, we do the duty, we don't expect. Even a person grows old, if the children are indifferent to him, or negligent of him, or they are not taking care of him, you don't worry. Because you know that's the nature. I was not expecting in the first place. Now that I know it's not happening. And if something happens, your children take care of you, great. It's a bonus. It's Krishna's arrangement. Otherwise, Krishna is there for me, for my shelter. He was always my shelter. He'll be always my shelter. Before I had this body, I didn't have a family. I didn't have a wife. Now I have a family. I have a wife. Under illusion, I am thinking they are going to give me security. But no, there was no family before. Afterwards, there is no family. One of the verses or one of the songs we should read for those who really want to get a little bit of slight detachment is Bhajagovindam by Shankaracharya. It's like it's pretty graphic. Yavat pavano nivasati dehe, tavat prichati kushalam gehe, gatavati vayo deha dehe, bharya bibhyati tasmin kaye. Says the Sanskrit is yavat pavano nivasati dehe, means as long as the body has life airs going around, till that time, tavati prichat, the family members are there for you. Oh, what are you? How are you? You're doing okay. You know, you're think, okay, can I help you? Then gatavati vayo deha de. So after the life airs leave the body, your own wife is afraid of your body. That body, get it out. Oh my God, husband, bite out. I don't want... Where is it gone? Where is that relationship gone? Where are you? It's a pretty graphic. Sorry. So bharya bibhyati tasmin kaye. It says that bharya bibhyati means that your wife is bharya. Bibhyati means afraid of. Tasmin, your own body is not even to be there in the house. You are staying in that house. You built that house all through the life, you paid your monthly mortgage and everything. The house is beautiful, big house. I made it for my family. I leave my body there. People are going to kick my body out of it. I don't even have that facility. Sorry to say, but that is the nature of this world. It's a graphic. Under illusion, one thinks, no, everything is okay. No, it is not. Please wake up. And that was what Vidura's mission when he came to Hastinapur, telling Dhritarashtra, wake up. Why are you still struggling in this material attachments? You all through this life you have been attached to this. You are still here. Come on, wake it up. Get this out. And then Dhritarashtra, of course, because the other thing is that the purity of Vidura really, you know, galvanized the heart of Dhritarashtra. He said, "What am I doing here? And I'm just living like a dog." That's what Vidura says. You are living like a dog. You are living like a pet household at the household of Yudhishthir. Can't you realize your situation? And Vidura was, and Dhritarashtra was truly shaken up. And then later we realize that he takes Gandhari, and Gandhari also follows him, and then they leave. So that's the nature. By good fortune, somehow or other, we come into contact with a pure soul or a saint. Then our relationship with Krishna begins. Otherwise, where is it going to begin? From where is it going to come? It's the nature. The other aspect we learn from the purport is that Srila Prabhupada writes about interplanetary travel a little bit, that we didn't have to, even to travel in this world, you need a passport, you need a visa, you need a plane ticket, you have to stand in lines, you have to have this many clearance, that many clearance, you have to have the right size of luggage, otherwise they won't let you in. You have to carry only specific amount of luggage, otherwise you have to pay ticket. This is just to travel from one country to another. And then it's a huge exercise, it's a huge effort in of itself, just to go. But in those days, Srila Prabhupada writes that interplanetary travel was very frequent, was easy. You could just, you didn't have to worry about passport, ticket and guns, security guards. Everybody could travel freely because at that time the culture was such that it was accessible for interplanetary travel. Especially it is said also in Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, when Krishna was performing his pastimes and he killed demons, the demigods would come from their planets and they would shower flowers as their offering for Krishna. So it was easy at that time and they could travel. So, and in the modern world, it's really grossly unwise to put on these huge rockets and everything just to travel to Mars. And go to Mars, Mars also has mud. Mars also has this. Great. Good discovery. We spent billions and billions of dollars, whereas people are dying in Somalia. Great, we found there is some mud and there is some air. Still, you know, probably we'll... Anyways. So, again, the point is the modern world, there is this lack of understanding why the resources are there, for whose the resources are, how should I utilize the resources for the best of abilities. Nothing. So the beauty is that when Vidura was speaking these particular verses, everybody was happy. Now when I'm sending rocket launches to Mars, people are suffering, and there's a difference. Just see that the spiritual culture is such that everybody is automatically happy with that. But in the modern world, what's happening is that there is no understanding or the lack of knowledge of spirit soul. Or why this world is there? Why am I in this world? What's my duty to others? What is my duty to God? Nothing is lacking. It's just like the scientific bent of mind is not something which is very conducive if it is lacking God consciousness. There's another point, which is that it's not like Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that we have to go back and live off the land. Of course, that's a good idea to live off the land. But the fact is that we, Srila Prabhupada would say that the scientists who would say that science would replace God, that is completely we are against. And we are going to fight that. Because you can't replace God. Science can't replace God, as we all know. And the scientists, they think that somehow or other, with science I can explain everything, all the phenomena. I'll put in, string in some equations, some mathematical equations, and I can tell the whole world. I can kind of, you know the whole world. It doesn't work that way. So that's another thing we learn from the purport. Any other points? Yes, Shradhavat.
Prabhuji, I have two questions. One is that when it says that Narad Muni could travel unrestricted in the material kingdoms and also in the spiritual world, does that also include Golok planet, or is it just Vaikuntha planets that he's restricted to?
I don't know. I don't have...
Are there any stories of he having visited Golok or something like that?
No? I can find out, Mataji. I think Brihad Bhagavata Amrita might have some references.
Okay. And also, Prabhuji, why is interplanetary travel restricted in Kali Yuga? Is it because we are all so fallen?
Because we don't have the qualification. So, for example, to go to a Brahmaloka, there are certain qualifications needed. Yeah, a person has to be like this. There are restrictions. Plus, of course, we don't believe in the soul itself. It's so gross. And when the human being is so gross, then the gross physical laws act on him. Meaning to say, it becomes so hard to go. But the previous travel was through the spiritual means. Because there was completely the knowledge of spirit, you can transfer yourself through the sound vibrations to different planets. And that could be happening. But now, no. Everything is so forgotten. Everything is kind of grossly judged in this world. You know, this is this, this is this. So that's how it is. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hi, Rama. Recently, they're promoting more and more in the material society that big old asteroids are going to just crash into the Earth. Isn't that like the ultimate atheistic philosophy? Like, we're just going to be wiped out in a second by a comet or something. And they figured it out. That's all I wanted to say.
Your question is that...
They're so qualified, they can figure out that for no reason at all, we're all going to be destroyed by some rock flying through space and going to crash into us. And totally the opposite of... if God cared for us, He's not going to send rockets to... rocks to crash into the Earth to destroy it completely, even though He could. Allah could do that in a second. Just like on the East Coast, it might be a hard, a little bit of trouble that they're going to have. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Is that a question or just a comment?
Comment.
Thank you. Yes, answer.
Prabhuji, I had one comment also. When you were saying Vidura was insulted by the sons of Dhritarashtra, I was thinking that Vidura was formerly Yamaraj. So he was actually in a position to grant the results of karmas. It's like one of those persons who has the authority of to give distress or happiness. But now he himself was getting insulted. So I was thinking, is that due to his prarabdha karma or something? He had to have some karma that he had to suffer, or it's just that's not because of any karma. It's just the nature of this world. If one comes to this world, then suffering is awaiting for him, no matter whether karma is there or not.
Well, in this world, Vidura came, and this world is full of people who are God conscious and who are not. So in this world, when you come, even a saintly person, it's inevitable that they undergo some sort of interactions. The point here, though, is it's not whether they undergo insults or not, but it is how they react to that particular thing and how they are able to tolerate that. For example, Jada Bharat, he was a liberated soul and there was no question of prarabdha karma for him because all that had been destroyed. Yet because he came to this world, there were his brothers who didn't treat him well and people would... That's the nature of this world. But the saint, he doesn't worry. In the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 7th chapter, 37th verse, if we can look it up, it's beautiful. Thank you. 7th chapter. So it's a nature. Why even Vidura? Why even Jada Bharat? When the Lord came as this Lord is Ramchandra, he had to undergo some criticism. It's just the nature of this world.
Was it also because of the curse that he got?
No. His curse was just to become a son of... Thank you, Sri Govinda. This is Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava. And this is the Avadhuta Brahman, and he says there are 24 teachers, and then he mentions the earth. So the verse is Bhutair Akramya Manopi Dhiro Daiva Vasanugai Tadvidvan Nachalin Margat Anvashiksham Kshitir Vratam. A sober person, even when harassed by other living beings, should understand that his aggressors are acting helplessly under the control of God. And thus he should never be distracted from the progress of his own path. This rule I have learned from earth. So if somebody is harassing you, then the thing is, again, without knowledge of Krishna, you think that that particular person is the cause of my harassment. He is harassing me. Hare Krishna. Either it could be a mother-in-law, it could be a boss, it could be an uncooperative neighbor, or somebody who is harassing you. But a person thinks that that person is only harassing me, forgetting the fact that person is also acting helplessly under some higher power. So in this world, really, if you see, analyze it carefully, there is nobody who is being harassed and there is nobody who is harassing. It's just the perception that I am being harassed and I am victim and he is my tormentor and vice versa.
Just to add that, even there were instances, even Narada Muni himself was insulted by others.
Right.
He is liberated, so we cannot say that that's because of his karma or anything.
Correct. So this is just the nature of this world. Yes.
Something to add, like yes. Yesterday I was hearing a lecture, like Maharaj was mentioning that, like if the boil is there in the skin and somebody touches it, then it pains. And if the boil is not there, then it doesn't pain. Like saints, they don't have false ego. So the insult and everything doesn't mean anything to them. It's
right.
Just words.
They tolerate it. But the thing is, that doesn't mean you keep on insulting saints. Because Krishna will never tolerate. They don't have false ego, it's okay, we can tell. But Krishna won't. Krishna definitely won't tolerate. And then they have a severe price to pay for that. So it's better. More questions, comments? Thank you for the...
Yeah, I mean, I just want to add another comment that Jesus Christ said that hate the sin but not the sinner.
Nice.
So if someone is acting is insulting us, for example, or doing bad things, we should hate that part, the sin part, but actually not the one who is actually doing it, because it could have been some other person just doing the same thing, because they're all acting helplessly here.
Which brings up nicely into the preaching aspect, because in the preaching, when we go on book distribution or when we go, we should see everybody is helplessly acting under the modes of material nature. And we are just trying to help them. So even if they sometimes slam the door on our faces, if we are going with distribution, or if they kind of insult us, then we should say, you know what, that person is helplessly acting. He's not doing it out of his personal ego. I won't take it on my personal ego. And that way, most of the problems can be solved. In fact, if one has a little bit of this consciousness, we don't need so many weapons. We don't need so many armies. We don't need so much of, you know, resource wastage in the world. Otherwise they can be directed to proper positive uses. And we are doing. Krishna consciousness is helping when we all go on book distribution or go preaching or something like that. That's the whole goal. One little crack at a time. One little hit at a time.
Prabhuji, can that concept be applied even in the community of devotees, for example? There are many instances where one devotee is doing something, other devotee doesn't like it, but he has to tolerate it. Or, you know, two devotees are not going each other. So many things happen, so many frictions happen. So in these cases also, should the mentality be that, you know, the other person is acting helplessly under a superior force, so we should just tolerate it, something like that?
Works both the ways. That doesn't mean that person. Ideally, if it is happening to me, then I should tolerate it. But to others, I should be careful. If that attitude is there, then most of the problems are solved. Because others, we should understand that the devotees of the Lord, even though are lower or higher, it doesn't matter. Krishna is equally merciful, and he should be treated with respect. If that is the attitude, and in the course of, because we are a community, a dynamic community, as a course of our services, there will be definitely frictions. I won't deny that. But if that frictions can be just having this attitude or knowledge is there, then 99% of the times the frictions will be peacefully resolved. With no further enmity, with no further separation because of that. It will be peacefully resolved. But this, again, the whole idea is that as a community of devotees, we need to read Srila Prabhupada's books to get this knowledge so that we can understand and how to act. Otherwise, in the beginning stages, without this knowledge, it's mainly the false ego and our own mind impressions that are acting, and they tend to be always like that. But even among Vaishnavas, there can be disputes. Even among Vaishnavas, there can be resolutions also in a Vaishnava way, which are completely different from the material way they are resolved. Because the main difference is that when there are frictions and when there is later reconciliation, that friction never existed. That will be there in the mind of both the Vaishnavas. That trust will be completely regained. But in the material world, the trust is more or less not completely regained. There is always, he did it in the past, he may do it now. But with the Vaishnava, it's forgiven and forgotten, and they move on again with the same amount of trust and enthusiasm as there was before. If it happens in a proper atmosphere, proper consciousness, proper resolution, with knowledge of scriptures, then it'll happen. Absolutely. There are so many instances. Because Krishna is all merciful. Ultimately, it is the Lord we are trying to please. He knows. He's seen us since time immemorial. He's been there with us. He's been in the heart. He knows what all we have done, what all we have not done, what all we are thinking, what we are not thinking. He has seen the pains. He has seen our struggles, birth after birth. He's been there. So ultimately, when that merciful Krishna, he'll get us to that path. And part of this is that when we are serving among congregation of devotees, these are bound to happen. But the other main, very important requirement is that there should be a good leadership amongst the community of devotees for this to happen. If the leadership is completely, in this case, I have no reservations in saying that we are very fortunate that Vaisheshi Prabhu is our temple president. He is a personality who is very mature, who is very understanding, and who can resolve the differences nicely. And in that situation, it's easier. But if the leadership is not mature, or if it's not having a lot of, then there could be real problems. Because there is no atmosphere wherein the frictions can be resolved. If the leadership itself from the top down is not, there are some prerequisites. Thank you. Yes.
Totally unrelated to the topic. In the beginning, you had recited some verses from Bhagavatam, the extra verses, and they were very beautiful.
Right.
So, can I have those references from where they are?
Sure.
Some of them are in the Page 296.
It's definitely not unrelated. It's related to Srimad Bhagavatam, so it's a very related question.
What is the context?
These are verses by Sanatana Goswami glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. And I usually like to recite them before I give the Bhagavatam class. So that's what she was asking. Any other questions, comments? Okay, 10 o'clock, dot on time. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.